God's word. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Well, amen. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray it'll be a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, and a help. Take your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 7. It is a great privilege and honor to be able to be here tonight and to preach to you. And we're preaching through the book of Judges. We just started chapter 18 this morning. But in Judges chapter 7, we are introduced, we're already into the story of Gideon. And so we're going to do a little reading there, and then we're going to hop around and look at a few things. The message is entitled, Are You Shining, Whining, or Polishing? Are you shining, whining, or polishing? If you're here tonight and you're saved, you're in one of those three categories. You're either shining, and don't be lying to yourself either. You're either shining, you're whining, or you're polishing. And we'll cover those terms as we go through the message tonight. I'm 45 years old. I'm married. I have three boys, Levi, Simon, and Jude. They are 12, 14, and 16. They are responsible for all the gray hair on my chin tonight. Also the administrator of Victory Christian Academy. We have a K-4 through 12th grade school there. The Lord's been good to me. I've been at Victory for 22 years now, and it's been just a great experience to be there. I've been in church all my life. I've been in church. I was in church 9 months before I appeared on planet Earth, all right? I say that tonight to let you know I know church. I know church life. I know church people. If it's happened in church, I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of being in church, of being an independent, Bible-believing, King James, fundamentalist, Baptist. Amen. I've seen it. I've seen the good and the bad. And here it is almost 46 years later, and to the grace of God, I'm still in church. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because somewhere, some way on back, someone told this young boy, you keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Period. Amen. Period. Man didn't die for me. Man didn't give me eternal life. I'm thankful for the one who came along and preached the gospel. I'm thankful my dad got saved. I'm thankful for all those things. But my devotion and my loyalty and my love is for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we go through this message tonight, it's going to be, I pray, a little challenging to you. And if you've been in church any length of time, you'll understand. But I pray that you'll see some things from Scripture tonight that'll help you, especially a lot of you young people. It'll help you especially to stay in the fight, to stay in church, and to serve the Lord. Now look in Judges chapter 7. Let's pick up the account of Gideon. He is now down to 300 men. He started off with 32,000. 22,000 were afraid and went home, left him with 10,000. 9,700 fell on their face and didn't pay any attention. They weren't cautious. And so they were sent home, and Gideon's left with 300 men. And in Judges chapter 7, verse 15, we pick up the account, and it says, And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream. And after all that Gideon had done with the Lord and the test that he put him through and all the rest, he still was a little unsure. And God's a good God. And he said, Gideon, just go on down to the camp. And Gideon hears these Midianite soldiers talking, and he hears the dream, and he hears the interpretation of the dream. And so we pick up in verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zerath and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We will be turning to several places tonight. I encourage you to do so as we read through some scriptures tonight to apply some lessons. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So here's this great Midianite army, over 100,000 strong, in the midst of the night in their encampment, a great army in the darkness. And there's only a very small group of Israelites willing to go to war against that army. It's Gideon and his 300 men. There are saved, born-again people in America. You're looking at some of them tonight. When you compare us to the population of the United States of America, we are a great minority. And among them, those that are saved, that actually surrender their lives for the Lord, are likewise a great minority. So you got the population of America, you got the population of America that's saved, that's a minority, and then you got the population of the saved that actually surrender and do something for God, that's a very small minority, probably represented here tonight. You know that it's a true statement, so the question is this: where are the rest of us? Where are the rest of them? Well, much like Gideon's army, some are scared, went home, and some have their face stuck in the water. Some have their face stuck in a TV tonight. Some have their face stuck in a computer tonight. Some have their face stuck in a pillow right now. They never recovered from their afternoon nap. Amen? Or maybe their face is in a plate. I don't know, but they're not here. That's the bottom line. So when the Lord starts weeding this thing out and finding out with Gideon and his men who it is that's generally trusting him, in going to battle against the enemy, the Midianites, about 135,000 strong, it's a very, very small group, a small group. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There are not many that have gone to battle with Gideon. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the great God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's pray, then we'll get into this tonight. Lord, we thank you for the day and the opportunity to be here once again tonight. We thank you for services held here this morning, services at Victory. Thank you for the word of God that was taught and proclaimed. We thank you for those who used their talents, whether it was through special music, helping out through ushering, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir. Lord, I'm so thankful for those who are willing to surrender their lives, to serve and be a blessing to others. And I pray tonight, Lord, we've come to hear from you. I pray once again, Lord, you'd use this message to encourage and to challenge your people. I pray, Lord, you'd get me out of the way, to speak through me, help us to hear and to see, Lord, what we have to glean from the scriptures, and then help us to be sensitive and to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit as he works in our heart and minds tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, there are some people located in that passage that God characterizes with two terms. In those verses that we read, you find that God says, number one, they're lost, and number two, he says they're blinded. They're lost and they're blinded. They don't know where they are, and they cannot see their way out. That's a great picture of the Midianite army that Gideon and his 300 men are about to attack in the middle watch. Look at verse 5. It says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The cry in Judges chapter 7 was, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Listen, you and I, we are following God, and we're walking in the footsteps of our commander. They're walking in the footsteps of their commander, Gideon, but you and I walk in the footsteps of our commander. Yes, our Lord, our commander is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but for those of you that are here this evening, another commander in your life is your pastor. It's your pastor. Maybe for some of our young children, it'd be their Sunday school teacher. And yes, there's allegiance to God, but there ought to be also allegiance to the man of God. As long as that man of God is doing what is right, the allegiance to the man that God has set before you. So in verse 5, you could say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ according to the gospel that God delivered to our brother Paul. And Paul thus faithfully is proclaiming the gospel to those that are lost and dying in need of it. Not mistaken about the gospel, just make sure we're following the right follower. Amen. And so they said, it's sore the Lord That's what the men shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, hold your finger there and go back to Judges, and let's compare something real quick. Judges chapter 7, and I want you to look at verse 16. Judges 7 and verse 16. It's an interesting phrase the Holy Spirit has written here in Judges 7. Look at verse 16. It says in Judges 7, 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand. Now look at the next phrase here. It says, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. It's interesting that it says empty pitchers, and then it says lamps within the pitchers. So the pitchers really are not empty, but the Holy Spirit had it written that way. Here's the question, why? Now look back at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, and look again at verse 6, and we're going to add verse 7 to the reading. Verse 6 and then verse 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So in Judges, now listen to me as we get rolling here. In Judges, the Lord is not only telling you history, but he's also setting up the lesson that he would teach thousands of years later in the New Testament scriptures. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Amen. Okay, so if you're saved, then God has placed within you a light, the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like Judges chapter 7, you and I, we are an empty pitcher. We're just an earthen vessel, as 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says. We're a clay pot. We're absolutely empty. But the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God chose to put his light inside of you. So here's Gideon and his army. They're sneaking up in the night. It's dark. There's the Midianites down there in their camp. They've got these empty pitchers, but inside those empty pitchers is a lamp. You and I are earthen vessels, and the moment we got saved, God chose to put his light inside of you. Why did God put that light within you and I? Look at verse 7 again of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not of us. Someone says, well, your light really shines. Oh, no, no, no. I'm just an earthen vessel. You got to get that tonight. I'm just an earthen vessel. There's nothing in me. There's nothing to me. There's nothing about me. But I have this little light of mine, and by the grace of God, I'm going to let it shine. Amen? I can't sing, so I won't sing that for you. If I was more talented, I would, but we'll move on. But if that light shines, through me, in me, and out of me, I still don't get the glory. Amen? I'm just an empty pitcher. It is God. It is God shining through me. Now, let me ask you again. Are you saved? Okay. Do you know what you are? You are an empty pitcher with a lamp inside. You got to get that tonight. You're an empty pitcher with a lamp inside. Just like Gideon and the soldiers are creeping up at night, they've got empty pitchers with a light inside. At quarter till 10, it says they were coming in there at the middle watch. At quarter till 10, 300 men approached, and not one Midianite could see them. At 10 till 10, it was still true. Nobody knew they were coming. At 5 till 10, no one knew they were coming. At 10 o'clock, no one knew they were there. They could not see them. And then all of a sudden, the pitchers were broken. They had to break the pitchers so the light could be seen. What are you? You're an earthen vessel with a light inside. They had empty pitchers with a light inside, but they could not be seen until the pitcher was broken. Does God really want me to be sick? Does God really want me to be poor? We call that breaking. Breaking. Amen. Does God want me to bear these burdens? Is God really going to answer my prayers with no? That's called breaking. Breaking. June will be 5 years that we moved out of the parsonage and we bought a house. The bottom fell out of the economy. We all know that. And then we could afford to buy a house in Ocoee. And so we were all excited because my young sons went from being the parking lot boys. They got to go live over in a neighborhood now. So it was really exciting. And we were excited. It was our 15th anniversary. We moved in on the day of our 15th anniversary. How I will ever top that, I do not know. But I bought my wife a new house for our 15th anniversary. And in we moved. And everything was great. It was June 25th. And by the third week of July, I was sick as a dog, got struck down with pneumonia. I don't know where that came from. And while I was delirious and out of my mind and all that was taking place, my wife started developing eye trouble with one of her eyes. And her eyesight got worse. I mean, just day by day, it was like, you know, I can't really see too well today. It's getting worse today. And so we went to the eye doctor, and he's like, I don't see anything wrong. Get you some new contacts. Here's some new glasses. And by the end of the week, she says, I can't see out of this eye. I said, well, I'm done messing around with that guy. Go to an eye specialist. So she went to an eye specialist. He said, you better get an MRI done. She got an MRI done, and lo and behold, my wife has MS. Just like that. Lord, you want me to be poor? Lord, why would you? Lord, we're serving you in the ministry. Lord, we're this. Lord, we're that. And you, this. But you know what that is? It's breaking. It's breaking. It doesn't matter what your sickness may be. It doesn't matter what you may be going through. If you're living for the Lord, you're serving the Lord, you're doing what's right, you're walking with the Lord, and these things happen in our life, understand they're breaking. But why the breaking? Why would God do that? Because we're what? What are we? We're empty. We're earthen vessels with a what inside? Light. And the light cannot shine until the vessel is what? Broken. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but it's not going to shine. The light's not going to be manifest without God allowing the breaking of the vessel, the body of flesh, that tends to block and hide the very light of the gospel that is within you and I. Do you know why 99% of saved people did not witness this past week? Because their pitcher has not been broken. So many saved people are preoccupied. Here we go. So many saved people are preoccupied with polishing. They're too busy taking care of the vessel, this earthen treasure. All that time spent combing your hair, brushing your... We appreciate you do those things. But we're not saying don't. But too much time polishing and decorating and cleaning their earthen vessel. Then with the gospel... the light that's on the inside. You and I should be more preoccupied with the light on the inside getting out than you and I adorning this vessel that keeps the light in. The truth of the matter is that this earthen vessel tends to block the light, and we all know that. That's why we don't knock on doors. That's why we don't hand out a tract. That's why we're afraid to talk. That earthen vessel. We're afraid what people are going to think about us. And we might sweat if I have to talk to someone about the Lord. And my pits might get wet if I have to go out and hand out tracts. And all that. What is that? That's protecting this vessel. It's protecting this vessel. Oh, he's a great speaker. Well, he was a fabulous preacher. That's a lovely couple. She's a wonderful teacher. He was an amazing singer. That's an attractive family. But what's on the inside? So we all look sharp tonight. We got up from our nap, we're dressed, we got our Sunday attire on, we come to church and we can look around and say, oh, everybody looks great. That's the outside. But what's going on the inside? What's going on the inside? See, that you don't see. We don't see what's on the inside until the trumpet begins to strike the earthen vessel and begins chipping at it and begins cracking it and begins breaking it. And when that vessel begins to fall apart, then we see what's on the inside. And what we should see is that light, that glorious light, shining forth. I just don't understand what's going on in that person's life. Their life seems to be falling apart. Their health is failing. They seem to be having so many troubles, so much trouble down there at that church. Oh, I know, but look at how that light is shining. Amen. My wife's not here. I'll brag on her. She's been sick for 5 years. It's been the first couple years were rough. But I'll tell you what, she was at church. And you wouldn't know she was sick. She played that piano. She sang her specials. She come in, taught school. She's a trooper. And I would just be like, you know, babe, we can do something different. No, we're going to keep on. I think when I was here preaching at the preacher's conference, I mentioned these two ladies, Sister Barnes and Sister Carol. Dear, dear ladies. Both ladies died a very difficult death. They died of bone cancer. And I would go to visit them. Of course, you know, being the pastor, you go to cheer them up. Well, these ladies sitting there cheering because their light was shining so bright. As that vessel of theirs was breaking and falling apart and crumbling, and they're in pain and they're in agony, suffering from bone cancer, they were always so chipper, and they were such an encouragement to me. I took my youngest son at the time, he was probably three maybe, he must have been three because Simon was one, and we went to go see Sister Barnes, and they had brought in a giant hospital bed and had it set up in her room at her little house there. And we went in, she just loved the boys, and she wanted Levi to get up into bed with her, and I'm like, Levi's like a bull in a china shop. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know about that, Miss Boy. Oh, it's all right, put him in the bed. So he gets into bed with her. She's got bone cancer, she's got these things, you know, things hooked up to her, and then she gives him the controls to the bed. And he's like, rawr, 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 rawr. He starts pushing buttons, she's like, rawr, 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 like this. I'm like, hey. She said, don't worry, I'm on morphine, I'm okay. I was sweating, all that stuff. So anyways, we got her back to her normal position, pulled him out and sent him outside. But I told him to the day both those ladies took their last breath, you never heard a negative word from them. They love the Lord. They love their Savior. They couldn't wait to go see Him. Every time you went to see Miss Barnes in her bed, she had her Bible. And Sister Carol had hers sat right there by her little nightstand by her bed. And they would read their Bible. And both of them had their bed set so they could look out a window and they could see the sun, see the birds, see the cars passing by. And those ladies were so, and they weren't, here's the thing, they weren't fake. They were as real as the day was long. They love the Lord. And no matter how tough it got, their light shined. They just shone brightly. But let me just say this. The light has always been shining. If you're saved, the light's always been shining. It's just hard to see through the pottery. It's just hard to see through the clay. And the breaking of the picture begins, and light begins to be seen, and that's an amazing thing. Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, let's continue this thought. Luke chapter 8, and go down to, go down to about verse 16. Luke chapter 8. So when you got saved, who lit your candle? God, Jesus comes to live within you. God lit your candle. And if you're saved, now listen, if you're saved, then God is going to work to get the vessel out of the way so your light can shine. Now you need to understand that. If you're saved, God's going to do what? He's going to work. He's not torturing you. He's not punishing you. He's not but God's going to work. He's going to bring things into your life to help remove the vessel, to remove that clay pot out of the way. Why? You got to remember why. So your light can do what? So your light can shine. If God saved you, He's not going to allow your flesh to permanently block the light that should be shining forth from you. He's going to work in your life. Now listen, if you won't open your mouth and you won't let it out and you won't open your hands and your heart, then He is going to really start chipping and start breaking away at your vessel. Now look at Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Luke 8 and verse 16. No man, Luke 8, verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Now listen to me. The light is not for us. We already have the light. If you're saved, you already have the light. The light is for those who don't have it yet. Okay? And so it has to shine forth so they can see it and be drawn to it and prayerfully get saved, and then they have the light. So light is not for us. We already have it. Now, let me ask you this question. Did God light the candle within you? Yes, He did. All right. Now, hold your finger in Luke. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and let's look at a verse there. We're building here. We're getting somewhere, slowly but surely. Revelation chapter 1, look there at verse 20. Revelation 1 and verse 20. Revelation 1 and verse 20. John the Revelator says this, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven what? Churches. So in the New Testament, the candlestick is a picture, a type of the what? Church. All right, so we're moving along here. Now, do you know where God's going to put you so your light can shine? Oh, in church. He goes, "Oh, you're going to put me out in the world." No, no, no. God's going to put you in church. He's going to put you, he's going to take that candle that he lit, Luke 8:16, he's going to put it on the candlestick. That's what you do with a candle. And so when you got saved, there was a light put within you, and therefore God's going to put you in what? Church, where you are tonight, and that's where you belong, is in church. Now listen, here we go. It's not about witnessing church. We don't come here to witness because you're already saved. That's not letting your light shine. And singing songs in church, that's not letting your light shine. No, God's going to put you in church. God's going to put you in fellowship with a group of believers who through their heartaches and through their troubles and through their burdens and with you helping them to bear them, and also now through their rudeness and through their lack of manners and through their gossip and through their backbiting and their lack of kindness, God's going to put you in proximity with a group of people that he can use to break your vessel. I just thought everybody at church was going to be so lovey. Yeah, right. I just thought everybody at church was going to be so kind. We wish. Well, y'all, you know it's the truth. God put you here to break your vessel. What better place to be broken than here? There is always someone. "Oh, that's a nice outfit. What's that spot there?" It's about to match the one on your eye. That's what it's about to be. Amen. "Oh, Pastor, that was a wonderful message, but you didn't pronounce that name right." Duh, I know. And on we go. Why is that? Break your vessel. So God lit your candle. He's going to put you in church. Why? To break your vessel. Yeah, you can be a blessing to others, but God will use others to break you. I'd be a blessing. Someone says, "Hey, preacher, that church down the road, my church isn't doing too well. They got some problems." Well, good. Get broken. Get broken and be a blessing in your church. The Lord puts the light on a candlestick, but that light only shines as the earthen vessel that surrounds it is broken, as it crumbles until it is no longer blocking the shining of that light. So the light can radiate outward and people can thus see it. One of the big things that goes on, I don't know, maybe not here, but in other churches, gossip. But let me just say that gossip is the Lord breaking your vessel. See, gossip is not about you, and gossip's not about them. Gossip's about breaking. It's about breaking. Now listen, nobody here at Landmark Baptist Church should treat you wrong. But they will. And you should never treat anybody wrong. But you will. Amen. Sitting in my pew, parking in my spot, singing my song. And down the road we go. I told you I've been in church a long time. So you got two choices. You can be so occupied with your vessel that you pack it up, you take it home, and you place it in the attic with a fragile sticker on top. That's choice number one. That's you taking you and hitting the road, putting a fragile. "I'm so fragile. My feelings are right here and right here. And down here and here." That's choice number one. Choice number two is just leave your vessel where God put it, on the candlestick, and let him break the vessel so your light can shine. Amen. Amen. Best place for you to be is in church. Amen. Why sickness? Why death? Why tragedy? Because we have a light down in here that will shine more brightly as our tears fall. And as those tears fall, they'll wash and melt away this old clay. will shine more brightly as we fall on our face before God and we jar this earthen vessel, this piece of pottery, just a little bit here and a little bit there. Shine more brightly as the weight of our burdens cause us to crack and crumble, as we begin to lose our self-confidence and begin to become more and more dependent upon Him. I can do it. We can do it. We have the Bible. We have the truth. We've got the doctrine. We have the literature. We've got the manpower. We have the radio station. Let's go out and do it. But if you forgot about that earthen vessel, we can go do this. I can go do that. But until that vessel is broken, you're going to block that light. And so God brings things, people, things, circumstances, trials into our life to break the vessel so the light can shine. You know, it's amazing. The people who shine the brightest, who consistently are doing the most for others, are the ones who have the most reason to throw up their hands and quit. But they didn't. Amen. Amen. I met a lady tonight. I don't remember her name. She'd been here 41 years. Praise God, she didn't quit. Amen. I can still go back to, I grew up at Tabernacle Baptist under Bob Ware. I can go back to Tabernacle, and there's still people there that were there when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Thank God. Thank God. But if you were to talk to them, they could tell you some stories. But God used those things to break their vessel. The ones who have the most reason to quit, they just let their pitcher break so the light could shine brighter. But some, I should say many, but many have not because they quit. They got mad. When you get mad and you quit, listen, you're just hurting yourself. You're just hurting yourself. And may I just throw this in? No, you're hurting yourself, but you're hurting your children. You're hurting your children. Amazing. People quit church. They don't quit Walmart.
Yeah, yeah. Mom, brother. Yep.
We'll just stand in line for 30 minutes. And then we go right back next week. Complaining the whole time. I hope they got more cash here. Off you go. Winn-Dixie, whatever. We've all been to other places where it didn't go our way, but we didn't quit. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, it's some sorry service at that restaurant. We're going to go back one more time. But now when it comes to church, Sunday school, we just quit. I'll show them I'm quitting. Whatever. Whatever. I had a friend in high school. He showed his parents one day. They were having a big argument in the car. He jumped out. He comes to school, he's walking a little funny. Elbows, wrists, knees, everything's all skinned up. He told us what happened. I'd have lied. I'd have said I fell out at home plate or something. I don't know. Wrecked my bike. So he told us what happened. I said, well, once you jumped out, what happened? He goes, they just went on home. He had to limp and walk all the way home. He showed them, didn't he? Well, that's what we think when we quit church. I'll show them. I'll quit. You're just hurting yourself.
Yes, sir.
And you're hurting your spouse. You're hurting your children. Instead of staying in the fight and letting the Lord use church people to break your vessel so your light can shine a little brighter. Me quitting is all about protecting my vessel from chipping and from cracking and from breaking. And it's the same with you. When you say, hey, I'm out of here, what you're really saying is I'm all about self-preservation. I'm all about protecting me. We'll go back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Let's see something else in that verse. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Luke 8. Stay with me. We're building. We're building. Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 16. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. But notice what it says. But setteth it on a candlestick, that, look what it says, that they which enter in may what? May see it. Listen, folks, it's not about clean carpets and nice nurseries and great landscape or activities, but all that's important. You need to have a nice facility. You need to have nice grounds, pick up the trash, vacuum the carpet, clean the bath. That's all very important, but that's not what it's all about. Before visitors hear Dr. Carter preach or Brother Carter preach or whoever's speaking, when the visitors come in the building, most of them have decided before they ever hear the man of God preach whether or not they're coming back.
Yep.
So if they've already made up their mind whether or not they're coming back before the preacher ever preaches, what makes that decision for them? This group sitting right here. This group right here. You say, well, I don't like that. That's the truth. See, if your light's shining, see what it said in verse 16? Look at it again. It says, that they which enter in may see the what? Light. Not this light from me, from you. They come into the building. What do they need to see? They need to see light. They need to see something different than what they see at work. They need to see something different than what they see at Publix and Walmart and the shopping mall and all the other places they frequent throughout the week. Hey, when they come into here, this should be a little picture, a little slice of heaven. There should be some light shining. And when people see light, if they love light, if they're looking for light, then they're drawn to the light. Ah, like a bug. But if they don't like light, if they're people of darkness, then they'll be repelled by your light. But that decision lies on them. What's important for you is that your light shines. And if people are looking for truth, people are looking for light, people are looking for something different, and they walk in this building, they see light, they say, I like it. I don't understand it, but I like it. Amen. And so then they're already settled in. They've enjoyed the singing. They've enjoyed the specials. They've enjoyed the handshaking. 55 people shook my hand. And then, you know what? I like it. We're coming back. Amen. And then the man gets up and preaches, and that's just icing on the cake. Amen. Icing on the cake. The Lord intends, whether they love it or loathe it, God intends for them to see light. That's what they need to see when they come in this building. They need to see light. Let your light so shine. Put it on a candlestick. Put your light in church where it belongs. So when they enter in, when they come in contact with God's church, they see light. They ought to see light. Amen. I was talking to a man a couple weeks back, and I was trying to get to see what his testimony was, trying to see if he was saved. And he ended up telling me that he was saved. But he said, as a young man, he grew up in the mountains of West Virginia. He said, I'd been off to the Marine Corps. I'd come back home. I was in church. And he goes, and there was a big fight broke out at church. And the two deacons were cousins. And something happened about one of them, the music director quit, and the one deacon wanted to lead the music, but the other deacon, he wanted to lead the music. And they got into an argument and a fight in church, and before it was over, they whipped out their knives. He said, I'm out of here. And hadn't been back to church ever since. Wow. They weren't letting their light shine that day, now were they? They was trying to cut up each other's vessel. That's what they was trying to do. All right, let's go on. Matthew chapter 5. Let's build on that. Matthew 5. We're getting close here. Matthew 5. Look at verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. You got to let your light shine. People come in church, they need to see light. They don't need to hear gossip. They don't need to see clicks. They don't need to see backstabbing. They need to see light.
Amen.
Visitors come to this church, whether they're on vacation or they're from the community, or they just moved in, they're looking for something.
Amen.
And when they come in, they need to see light, and you need to be in your place in church. Now look at Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all, look what it says, that are in the house. Your light is being a blessing to other believers.
It doesn't really matter if I come to church.
Oh, yes, it does. Amen. You may not realize it. Well, you do realize because you do the same thing. All us good Baptists, we come in the church to our spot, and we look around. See who's here and who's in sin. Huh? But you start looking around, and everybody's here. Wow. That's encouraging, is it not? Nothing worse than walking into a half-empty building. You being here, your light is a blessing to the other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's very, very important. Now look at verse 16, and don't miss the commas in this verse, and pay close attention. Look at verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men, comma, that they may see your good works, comma, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, the reason you got to pay attention to the commas, because often this verse is misconstrued. Listen, unsaved men who see our light are not going to glorify our Father. Unsaved people don't glorify God. Look at the verse again. It says this, let your light so shine before men. Then he inserts this phrase. He's talking about your light. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works. Now, take that phrase out. Let your light so shine before men and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You should let your light shine so men can see it, but your light shining glorifies your heavenly Father. Now that puts that whole thing in a new perspective, does it not? That middle phrase is an extra about our light. What he is saying is that when my light shines before men, that glorifies him. That glorifies God the Father. And listen, that's what he wants. And so when that lady says, what a nice outfit you have, but you have a spot right there, oh, I thank you for pointing that out to me. And you have a blessed day. But as you let the vessel crack and you let your light shine, you glorify your Father. Amen. 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 No matter what may happen at church, no matter what person may say something about, listen, in 45 years, you know, oh, man, the stuff that has gone on in church is unbelievable. It's just terrible. If I told you half, you'd want to quit. So why do you stay? I told you from the beginning. It's because of him.
Amen.
He hasn't done anything to me. All he's done is done for me. Sent his son to die on the cross for my sins, washed my sins away, gave me eternal life, blessed me, gave me a great wife, wonderful kids, opportunity to serve him. God's a good God.
Amen.
And so whatever may happen, we have to use our, we have to let our light shine to glorify him. Heartaches, burdens, tears, hurt feelings, sickness, misunderstandings, funerals. Do you know what all those things are about in church life? Breaking pitchers, breaking earthen vessels so lights can shine. That's what that is all about in church life, is to break our vessel so our light can shine all the more. Doesn't the Bible say in Ephesians 5:29 that I nourish and cherish my own flesh? That's what it says. You can check it out later. Says, I nourish and cherish my own flesh. So the Lord sends somebody along who won't nourish and cherish your flesh. Amen? Who doesn't? And then we have our disagreements. But that's what they're there for. That's what they're there for. Amen. So people say things, oh, Lord, he hurt me. God, make him stop. God says, no. I'm breaking your vessel. Oh, he hurt me. Make him go away, God. No, I'm sending him back. He's breaking your vessel. Oh, Lord, make him be nice to me. No, I'm breaking your vessel. But Lord, it hurts so bad. Yes, it does. But Lord, I'm breaking. I know. But Lord, I'm falling apart. True. But while that's taking place, your light is shining, and it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. God says, I didn't light a candle so you could hide it in your vessel of clay. God said, I lit your candle so everybody could see it. Are they seeing your candle tonight? Is your light shining tonight? Are you whining? Are you too busy polishing? Or are you shining? Go back to Judges chapter 7 and we'll finish up. Judges 7. Gideon's got 300 men and they're creeping up in the night. They're at the middle watch. They're getting ready to trust God. They're getting ready to go to war with 135,000 Midianites. But as we know in the story, 300 Israelites put to rout the host of Midian. Listen to me. They put the enemy on the run, catch it now, once the pitchers were broken. Until the pitchers were broken, nothing happened. But when the pitchers were broken, the enemy fled. Chaos ensued. They were killing each other. Let me give you two closing points tonight. Here's what you need to remember with Gideon and his 300 men. God did not break the vessels. Those pitchers were broken by human hands. Those soldiers had those lamps with a light inside, and they took that trumpet. They took their hand, and they broke the vessel. They cracked it. They hit it. Fell, and the light was shining. God didn't break the vessels. They were broken by human hands. The Lord uses human hands to break the vessel so the light can shine forth. That should clarify, that should give some clarity to your life right now. God uses what? God uses who to break your vessels? Who? You, people. People. So guess what? Someone is going to be mean to you. Someone is going to be unkind. Someone is going to gossip about you. Someone is going to take your spot. Someone is going to point out a spot. Someone's going to tell you you've gained some weight. Someone's going to blah, blah, and blah, blah, and blah, blah. And you say, thank you, Lord, for breaking my vessel. I want to break their face, but I'm not. I'm not. Let my light shine. Amen? I mean, I guess you could be real spiritual, and when they do something like that to you, say, thank you, brother, for letting my light shine. I didn't know I needed to be broke anymore, but I appreciate it. Make them think a little bit, amen? God uses human hands. That shouldn't be a shock to you. But notice again in this study, or in this passage in Judges 7, let's read it again one more time, and then I'm going to give you the last point, and we'll wrap up. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers, lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of all the camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And notice that when Gideon gave the instructions, there were no instructions to break the pitchers. Go home and read it again. There were no instructions. There was no mention of the vessel being broken. He didn't say, now when we get there, he just said, do as I do. And he talked about blowing the trumpet and giving the shout. But when they actually got into place, he said, watch me. And they broke. So there were no instructions. So why is that important? There's no instructions. There's no mention of the vessels being broken. Why? Because the breaking will happen in the course of events. And the Lord is not going to warn you. See, if you could be warned, you could be prepared. Because then you'd go into self-preservation mode. And so when the breaking happens, we're often caught off guard. We're not ready. But that's the way it works. Sometimes you come to church and it's just a wonderful day and you come in and everything is going well. Bam! Amen? I wasn't expecting that. Of course you weren't. Because it's just going to happen in the course of life. The purpose is so your light can shine. Is so your light can shine. May the Lord help us tonight to see through it all. To see the constant, ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us shining lights in this old world. More at work than good or bad times, more at work than blessings and trials, but the constant work of the Holy Spirit, the constant work of the Holy Spirit is to make our light shine.